Turning your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. We'll read verse 8 down through the end of the chapter. And I'll begin at verse number 8 if you'll join me on the odd numbered verses. We'll read responsively down through the rest of that chapter there, 1 Samuel chapter 31. Stand with me, please. In 1 Samuel 31, I'll begin there at verse number 8. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the tree at Jabesh and fasted 3 days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, it is good to be in your house, Lord. It is good to open your word and to hear from the man of God. I pray, Lord, that you please just speak to our hearts through the preaching. Thank you for the good music we've heard already. Pray, Lord, that you please prepare our hearts with the next song, but then be with our preacher as he comes. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
While walking down memory lane, not so long ago, Satan came by my side, making me feel low. He brought up all the hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along life's way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you could never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply: "You're right for all the things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood." So many times I stumbled along this earthly way. I failed 1,000 times before, for that I am ashamed. I'm sorry for the things I've done. The Lord could hear my cry, but I rejoice to hear His voice. This was His reply: "Victory was given when you were born again. I washed your stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do you bear the mark that sin had brought your way. With happiness and peace of mind, you now can say, 'It's under the blood.' Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
I'm happy reminding him
it's under the blood.
That's a blessing. Thank you, ladies. Wonderful song. Wonderful truth. I'm content in what Christ Jesus has done for me, but I'm dissatisfied in what I've become for Him. But I follow after and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, now tonight's message is going to be a little different. It's more of a almost a Sunday school lesson than it is a Sunday night preaching sermon. But the Lord put this on my heart. I want you to look at verse number 12 with us for a moment. We read with Brother Mick a moment ago. All the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And I want to speak on this subject. Valiant people don't forget. Valiant people don't forget. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the wonderful music. My heart's been so blessed. That last song just, Lord, sent me through the roof. Thank you that our sins are under the blood. And we're not everything we should be, but we're not what we used to be. And we rejoice in your goodness. Thank you for our country. Thank you for those who paid the ultimate price so that we could be here tonight. And we don't want to forget that. So bless us, help us in these moments together in your word. Thank you for this passage. Open our hearts to your spirit tonight. May he move and have his way, please, in Christ's name. And amen. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's one of the better holidays our nation celebrates for, excuse me, many. It is just another day off. It's a time to barbecue, maybe get some extra work done around the house. Or, maybe drive back from a 4-day road trip that began on Friday. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. All those things are fine and good and helpful, and they're a blessing. But so many will give no thought about the meaning of tomorrow's very special day. And I've already mentioned Kendall Lawman tonight. If you weren't aware of it, several weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Sunday morning, his service was interrupted in Beijing by police, and they closed the service. They told the people to take their Bibles and their books and their belongings and leave, and you're not welcome back in the service here anymore. They detained Kendall for some hours questioning him, and then he was supposed to meet with a person in command or a person in power or authority this past Tuesday to determine whether or not he'd stay in the country of China, where he's been for 20 plus years now. And he met with that authority and was told that he and his family had to leave. Their crime was starting a quote, an illegal church. An illegal church, end of quote. And so they have, as I said earlier, they have till sometime here in June, coming up in June, to pack their bags and leave. And folks, when you've been somewhere for 20 years and you've started something from scratch, that's a part of you. And they have to come home. We don't face that kind of interference in this country. We can still assemble for church tonight freely. We drove here without interference today. Nobody had to go to the police station where you live and give a report on what you were going to do today. You got in your car freely this morning and you drove here on roads that were passable. If you don't believe it, go to the Philippines. Go to Madagascar. Go to some of these places. We came here on decent roads this morning. We haven't been interrupted in our service by authorities coming in and seeing what Bible we're preaching out of and things like that. And folks, this is largely due to the fact that thousands of men and women have given their lives to protect freedom, not only for this country, but other countries around the world as well. And to read recently that some veterans' memorials have been defaced in recent days is absolutely amazing, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. A lot of times I come to a message like this, And I realize that I'm aiming for our young people tonight. I want our young people to understand why, humanly speaking, you've got the freedom that you have. Because it's not free. It's come at great cost. And for somebody to take graffiti or drive over crosses that have been erected in memory of veterans who've died, take graffiti and paint over memorials that were built for the memory of people who gave their lives is absolutely... Folks, look, no one who has any sense looks at war as an enjoyable exercise of time, money, and life. Nobody looks at war that way. But war is necessary. And to dishonor the lives of those who paid with their blood is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. We got a lot of veterans here in the church. Thankfully, you didn't have to pay with your life. But some of the folks that went before you or along with you did. Now, we read in 1 Samuel 31 about the aftermath of the battle where Saul and Jonathan were killed. And the Philistines, they celebrated Saul's death by cutting off his head. And Jonathan and the other boys as well. They really celebrated Saul's death. He was the king of Israel, so it was a big thing to the Philistine people. And they took the bodies, the Bible tells us, and they fasted. First of all, they paraded the headless bodies and the heads through the towns and villages of the Philistines, and then they finally took them to the wall of Bethshan, to a wall in Bethshan, and they attached or fastened the headless bodies of King Saul and Jonathan and his other boys to the wall. And verse number 11 tells us that the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul. And verse 12 says that all the valiant men arose. And they went all night. And they recovered the bodies of Saul and Jonathan and the other boys. And they brought them back to Jabesh. Yeah, Jabesh. They brought them back to Jabesh, and they gave them a proper kingly burial. And they did this at great risk and great danger to their own lives. This valiant act by these valiant men was remarkable. Now, why? Why go to such risk? Why go to such danger? Why arise and go all night to bring the headless body of Saul and Jonathan and the other boys back to Jabesh and give them a proper burial? Well, the answer is found in something that took place 40 years earlier. 40 years. So hold your finger here. Wait, we might come back here, but turn back to chapter 11 in the same book, 1 Samuel chapter 11. When you turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 11, you're turning back 40 years in time. 40 years in time. Saul is not the seasoned king of Israel. In fact, he's just been anointed king of Israel when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 11. He'd just been anointed, and the Ammonites came against Jabesh-Gilead, and they basically threatened the livelihood of their village. Their freedom was threatened. Now, I'm paraphrasing. We're going to look at a verse in a moment. That they got word to Saul that their village was threatened. Saul's a brand new king. And listen to this. Saul gathers an army of 330,000 men. That's a big army. 330,000 men. And look what he says in verse number 9. And it was so, I'm sorry, verse number 9 of chapter 11. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. I would interpret that to mean about midday, wouldn't you? The time that the sun is hot, usually what, 1 o'clock in the afternoon? You're going to have help. You hang on, friend, because by 12, by noon tomorrow, by 1 o'clock, you're going to have some help. And true to his word, Saul led those 330,000 men into battle, and they defeated the Ammonites. We could read about it in all through the rest of chapter 11 here, but for sake of time, we won't do that, just paraphrasing it. Saul promised these people in this village whose freedom was threatened, tomorrow you have help. He made good on his promise. He came in, and Jabesh-Gilead's freedom was preserved. The inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead lived in freedom in large part because of Saul's valiant action. So 40 years later, when Saul's headless body was hanging on a wall in Philistine territory, valiant men, went and repaid the kindness and favor that they had been shown earlier, and they recovered Saul's body and his boys and brought him back and gave him a proper burial. People, that's the approach that valiant people take toward those who were humanly responsible for preserving their freedom. Valiant people don't deface memorials. They honor the memory of the deceased who helped purchase their freedom. Valiant people don't exercise the freedom that they enjoy to violate the memory of those who purchased that freedom with their blood. The very fact that those kind of people can assemble and do something like they did was because we live in a free country, but certainly not free to do that. And it's disgusting, and it makes me nauseated at the lack of respect that is fomented in this country today toward policemen, toward everybody else, friend. And now the veterans are getting lumped in, and I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's young people. I don't know if it's college students. I don't know. But folks, look, you say, Pastor, I don't understand. We have to understand and realize that we are living in the days of Romans chapter 1. And it's all the way down at the end of the chapter in verse number 29 where it talks about the degenerate people who are filled with all of their wickedness. They're vile people and they're filled with their wickedness. And verse 32 in Romans chapter 1 says, they know they are wrong. They know that what they're doing is wrong, but they don't care. They do it anyway and they enjoy it while they are doing it. And we have a vile group of people. I'm not sure who's stirring the pot. I don't know if these are young college students whose brains have been messed with by Bernie Sanders. That guy is a kook. He's a kook. And he's stirring up all kinds of unrest. Folks, look, I'm not necessarily a Donald Trump fan. But I'm going to vote for somebody in November. I'm going to vote for somebody. And you'd probably guess who it's not. Now, I'm not a fan, but I'm going to tell you something. This lawlessness that's allowed to go on around these Trump rallies is out of control. That's lawlessness. We have no respect for anything. None whatsoever. I don't know who's behind it. But the idea that people who live in freedom would dishonor the memory of those who purchased their freedom is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. They are certainly the opposite of the valiant men of Jabesh-Gilead. Now, I want to make one point tonight from this story about Jabesh-Gilead and these valiant men who went all night. I want to make one point. Somebody in Jabesh-Gilead kept Saul's valiant action alive. Somebody in Jabesh-Gilead kept Saul's valiant action alive. 40 years passed between the time that Saul rescued Jabesh-Gilead and then when Saul died. Some people in Jabesh-Gilead had died, maybe some had moved away, but somebody in that village remembered and passed down the truth about Saul's earlier actions. Somebody kept his story alive. Somebody passed it down to this generation, who passed it down to this generation, who passed it down to this generation, and for 40 years, the memory of Saul and what he did to keep Jabesh-Gilead free was kept alive. And this is why Memorial Day is a good and right holiday. It's why valiant Americans will do more tomorrow than just enjoy a day off. Valiant Americans will take some time to remember and to pass down to the next generation why, humanly speaking, we enjoy the freedoms that we do. That's what happened in Jabesh Gilead. Somebody passed it down. Somebody sat down with a group of boys and girls and talked to them about what Saul did, and they kept that alive. They kept that thing alive for 40 years, so much so that when they heard Saul's body was hanging headless over on the wall in Bethshan, there were enough valiant men in the village of Jabesh Gilead to go all night and recover that body, bring it back, and give it a proper burial. Now, there are several things that you can do. That's why I say this is more like a Sunday school lesson. Number one, talk to your kids. Talk to your kids, those of you that have kids at home. Tell them about the holiday. Tell them about it before the barbecue. Tell them about it before any fun begins. Tell them about it at breakfast. Remind yourself and your family that freedom isn't free. Somebody had an empty seat at their table because their loved one paid the ultimate price in blood so that you and I could be free. I don't think it hurts to take a little time tomorrow and talk to your kids. I wish I had made more of an emphasis about this when our kids were at home. I wish I had been more careful. We celebrated the holidays and tried to do the right things, but I wish if I had it to do over again, I would make a bigger deal about Memorial Day than I did when our kids were at home. Because I'm going to tell you why, friend. The memory of what really happened in the past in our country is not being taught in the public schools. Somebody's got to keep it alive. Somebody's got to pass it down. Somebody's got to talk about the victory. Somebody's got to talk about the things that happened in wars over the years. So talk to your kids. Number two, read a story of heroism. There are a ton of stories to reference. And I know there are exaggerations and I know there's falsehoods out there. But folks, there are books, there are places on the internet where you can go to get true, real life stories of real bravery and real courage. You know, print one of those off and read it to your kids. Like the story that I referred to this morning that Brother Luke did at the bus meeting yesterday. That's a real story. And I tell you, Don Oswardi is one of the best guys in the world at scoping out whether stories are accurate or false. And that story appeared in major newspapers across the country, which doesn't necessarily make it true, but that story is true, and there are stories just like that. That happened in the Vietnam War. If you were not in the service this morning, and other places, I wish I had time to tell you that story again. It was a great story of patriotism, valiant rescue of a downed pilot. There are stories like that galore out there. There are stories from World War I. There are stories from World War II. And even though Vietnam was a no-win for us, there are stories of men and women who gave their lives and shed their blood in Vietnam and the Korean War and wars since then. So read a story of heroism. Find one somewhere. Take a minute. Sit down with your children and pass down the truth about America's heritage. Number three, visit a cemetery. Now, I don't know about you, but I am moved by the sight of all the star-spangled banners flying in cemeteries this weekend. That does something to my heart. You drive by those cemeteries and you see those roads or whatever it is, or every little grave there that was a veteran marked with a little bitty flag, or those roads in the cemetery lined with the flags. It just does something about it. You know, something to your heart. Some cemeteries have brief services. I was talking to Hannah a little bit yesterday, and I was at a little bit of a drive between visits, and I hadn't talked to her in a while, so I called her, and I said, "What are y'all doing Monday?" And she said, "Well, we're going to take the boys to a cemetery here in Elgin where there's a service." And I was so thrilled to hear that. I was so glad to hear they were going to take their boys, because those boys live in freedom. Nope, they've never dodged a bullet. They've never eaten MREs. They've never been away from home. They run up and down their streets. They go down to the park in their neighborhood and they play. They live in freedom tonight because somebody died. I'm glad. They're going. Brother Mick was telling me they're planning to go over here to Elwood. They have a cemetery at the cemetery there, the Lincoln Cemetery. They're having a ceremony at 11 o'clock with some music, and 11:30, some kind of a brief ceremony. Just last Saturday, several of Brother Anderson and the Stones and Ray and I and some others were at this honor, the reading of the deceased veterans up here at Mantino. You know, it does good for your children to be exposed to the reality of what it costs for them to be free. Visit a cemetery. Find the grave of a veteran. And remember the price that was paid. Number four, you can't do this tomorrow, but put this on your bucket list. In fact, make it more than just a bucket list item. Go visit Washington, D.C. Go visit our nation's capital. Go there. Okay? So many of our holiday trips and vacations are built around amusement. Amusement. Break the word down, people. Muse, to think or meditate. Amusement, not to think or meditate. Amusement is anything that pleasantly diverts the attention. And somebody has rightly said, in America, we are amusing ourselves to death. It's all pleasure and fun. People with too much time, without work, without self-discipline, without control, and without a brain. Too much time. No work. Amusement. Let's go ride. I'm not against the roller coaster. I'm not against that kind of thing. But if that's all your kids ever do, they're going to miss out on some of the most important lessons and things that they need to learn. You say, well, the kids don't want to go sightseeing. I'll promise you, you go to Washington, D.C., and you stand them in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and they'll be captivated. It's huge. It's unbelievable. And to look at that, and to go by the Washington Monument, and some of the most blessed places to visit are the war memorials. And when you go to the Vietnam Wall, I remember the first time I saw it. It's unbelievable. It was moving. Because that was going on in my boyhood. And every morning, we would get the newspaper, and the headlines were about the Vietnam War, and you turned on David Brinkley and Chet Huntley. And David Brinkley was in New York, and Chet Huntley in Washington, D.C. Good night, Chet. Good night, David. But the headlines every evening in the news was about the Vietnam War and the number of Americans killed and so forth and so on. And when I went to that wall, and my aunts... cousin was killed in Vietnam. We looked up his name and we found his place on the panel. I'll tell you, I saw people standing beside that wall weeping, putting their hands, reaching their fingers up and touching the name of their loved one. It was moving. It was stirring. And you realize that all that we enjoy in this country in the way of freedom came at tremendous cost. There are thousands, 50-something thousand names on that wall of Americans who died in Vietnam alone. You go to the World War II monument. What an impressive monument. You go to the Korean War Memorial and go at night. Man, it's unbelievable how beautiful that thing is. Go to the statue of Iwo Jima and go to the Arlington National Cemetery where our nation's veterans are buried and go to the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown and watch the precision and watch those men as they come off duty and go on duty. It'll move your heart. It'll impress upon your children the price that was paid for their freedom. Well, my kids don't like, they want to play. That's our problem. We play. And then when play doesn't amuse us anymore, we go and write graffiti on the veterans' memorials. We need to learn a little bit about history and the right kind of history and American history. So take a trip to Washington, D.C. and go to those places and teach your kids and let your kids learn what it means in your own heart to be stirred by the price that was paid for our country's freedom. Number five. Just stay grateful. Stay grateful. Stay grateful. Folks, listen. Thanksgiving prevents so much wrong in our hearts. If we just keep a thankful spirit. And we're thankful, of course, by all that God has done for us. These ladies sang tonight that last song, especially about being under the blood. My, how thankful for the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. But then beyond that, friend, here as an American, to travel, to assemble, to vote, to work, to play, to worship, all the freedoms we enjoy came at a great price. All of them. Now look at all you boys sitting across the front down here tonight blesses my heart, and I love you. You're fine young men. I want to tell you something. A lot of mothers got little envelopes delivered by some courier. And that envelope included in its little letter a message that her son had been killed in battle. And sometimes they died in gruesome ways. Blown up by grenades. Bodies riddled by bullets from machine guns. Atrocities at the hands of some of the North Vietnamese you couldn't even talk about in public. Poor Dennis Hoffman, he's out of town this week and gone to see his brother down in Georgia. And poor Dennis Hoffman was 2 terms in Vietnam. You can't get him to talk about it. Y'all here last Veterans Day on Wednesday night, I tried to get him to come up. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't talk about it. Glenn Swanson, same way. Glenn served in Vietnam, tried to get Glenn to talk about it. I don't talk about it. It's horrid. Horrible. War's a terrible thing. Sometimes a necessary thing. You're talking about lifeblood flowing from the veins of people who had dreams and aspirations and hopes for their futures just like you young men have here tonight. But they laid it down for the price of freedom. For the cause of freedom. We ought not forget that, folks. We ought not forget it. And I'm not trying to be political tonight. I'm not trying to be anything more than just a Bible example of some valiant, because valiant people don't forget. Valiant people don't forget. These valiant men rose and went all night 40 years after the fact, grateful for what Saul had done for them. And so let's do more than just have a day off tomorrow. Let's take some time in some way to reflect and remember those who gave their lives in sacrifice, paying the ultimate price so that we could be free. Free. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? Free. Father in heaven, we thank you for our nation. We thank you for our country. It's not what it used to be. It's not what we would want it to be tonight. But God, we are free. And we appreciate the price that's been paid for our freedom. Help us as parents, as leaders, as teachers, not only, Lord, to reflect on it ourselves for our own good, but help us to keep that alive and passing it down from one generation to the next, because valiant people don't forget the sacrifices of those who've gone before them. Help us not to be so selfish and self-centered as to spend the whole day tomorrow never reflecting on the price of our freedom. God bless America. Help us, please. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you're not a born-again child of God, it'd be a great time to come and get saved. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or if you want to spend just a moment at the altar tonight reflecting on what we preached on, you do that. And Father, bless the invitation. It's different tonight. It's a different type message altogether, more of a Sunday school lesson. But nonetheless, Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You come tonight.